This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
From Alma Midwifery, offering prenatal care, home and birth center birth and mother baby care for the first 6 weeks postpartum. Alma Midwifery provides relationship-based care with certified nurse and professional midwives, as well as childbirth education, yoga, and parenting classes. Located in the heart of Portland at Southeast 16th and Ankeny, or almamidwifery.com.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing, bread and roses.
Welcome to Bread and Roses. I'm your host, Del Crescenzo. Bread and Roses is a collective of women bringing you feminist news and public affairs programming that is every Friday night at 6 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM. Please check us out on the web, kboo.fm/breadandroses. There you can listen to past shows, you can post comments, share show ideas. We love hearing from you, so please, if you do listen to Bread and Roses, the longest running feminist show in the nation, send us a message or like us on Facebook. On Facebook, you can look for KBOO Bread and Roses Women News to find us. And if you are interested in joining our collective of amazing women host engineers and producers, please contact Ani Haynes, our volunteer coordinator. Her email is volunteer@kboo.org. Tonight, we call on you, we women, call on you, all listeners, to strike, dance, rise, join the 1 billion rising and idle no more movement that's in PDX here next Thursday, February 14th. Eve Ensler, the author of The Vagina Monologue, started about 15 years ago the V-Day campaign to end violence against women and girls. In 2013, she's worked with many to organize a global day of action. 1billionrising.org says, quote, "A billion women, one in every three on the planet, will be raped or beaten in her lifetime. That's 1 billion mothers, daughters, sisters, partners, and friends violated. V-Day refuses to stand by as more than a billion women experiences violence. On February 14th, 2013, V-Day's 15th anniversary, we are inviting 1 billion women and those who love them to walk, dance, rise, and demand an end to the violence. 1 billion rising is a promise that we will rise up with women and men worldwide to say enough. The violence ends now." There's over 5,000 actions that are planned worldwide, including one here in Portland. And in Portland, 1 Billion Rising has actually allied with the Idle No More movement. And we'll get to hear more about both of these movements in just a minute, because we are joined tonight by two organizers from 1 Billion Rising and Idle No More PDX movements. And we'll be here to discuss the movement, the action, the dance, the rising, and the violence. We have Elmira, who is an organizer with 1 Billion Rising. She is a women's studies student at PSU. She learned about 1 Billion Rising in November and did some research, find out that there was nothing being planned really in Portland. So she started organizing. Having been involved in the activist community here in Portland for some time and spent the last year and a half organizing with Occupy Portland, Elmira could not pass up the opportunity of bringing a feminist agenda to the work we are doing here in Portland. She's been hosting the meetings in her home and has nurtured this seed from the beginning. And we are also joined by Shiloh George, who is Southern Cheyenne Arapaho with the Idle No More movement. She's a graduate student at Portland State University in the post-secondary and continuing education master's in the Graduate School of Education. She graduated with a bachelor's in science degree in art practices in August of 2012. That's pretty recent. And a focus on Indigenous Nation studies. She's been active in the local Native American community for about 12 years, including working at the Native American Youth and Family Center, that's NAYA, for almost 4 years prior to returning to PSU to finish her education. She's particularly interested in formal and informal education with a focus on culturally responsive learning for Native American youth and adults that promotes liberation, re-indigenization, and leadership skills. Her involvement with Idle No More has been support. She has been supporting round dances in several area malls and community spaces in Portland. She organized and helped lead an Idle No More teach-in in Portland State University a few weeks ago, focusing on Idle No More, think globally, act locally. And she is organizing another teaching, so maybe you can talk a little bit about this later. Welcome both of you, Almira and Shiloh, to Bread and Roses. It's a pleasure to have you here tonight.
Thanks, Del.
Thank you.
Let's start, Shiloh, with you. If you could place the Idle No More movement for our listeners who might not know what it is, and then talk more particularly about Portland and what you are doing here.
Klaham, thank you so much for allowing me to be here this evening. And I want to acknowledge the ancestral lands of the Chinookan Nation that we're here on. I think we often forget to think about the First Nations in this area that are still here and that have been here for time immemorial.
Thank you for the remembrance.
Idle No More is it's a movement that has risen out of the last 500 years of struggle of Indigenous people on this continent. It's a continuation. And this Idle No More movement began around December 10th up in Canada. And it was founded by four founding mothers, four women. And it was around a particular piece of legislation that went through the Canadian Parliament that stripped protection of some very vital and important water resources. Mm-hmm. And it was these four women that said, you know, we're not going to idly stand by anymore and see this happen. And so they made a hashtag for Twitter on Idle No More. And then it just exploded from there throughout Canada into the United States, then down into Australia, New Zealand, Europe. And so it's now a global movement that's maybe a little bit over 2 months old. And there's been round dances, teach-ins, blockades,
Flash mob
round dances are extremely popular. There's been online town hall meetings. There's been small meetings. There's a 7 youth that are walking over 600 miles and sub-zero temperatures to go from their res or their lands down to the parliament. Wow. And they have a person who's taking them on that journey, an elder. So you have people who are rising up, Indigenous people, but also our allies as well. And this movement covers a lot of issues, and it's a decentralized movement, so no one's in charge. And it takes on a different stance sometimes depending on your region and what it is that you need in that region. But really, the main focus is on environmental issues, which is an issue for everybody on the planet, and then also issues about women and women's rights and protection for women.
And you were mentioning the connections between the land and women earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that I think is very important to talk about, and we talk about a lot in in the indigenous communities of how women are life givers. And so we are connected to the earth. That is our mother. And so if we are abusing our earth, we're abusing our women. And something that Jolene talks about, who is one of the other women who helps us organize here in Portland for I Don't Know More, she talks about that connection of we see this rampant abuse of women and children, and then we see this rampant abuse of the earth. Mm-hmm. And so these two movements move really well together and are very much connected for us culturally and spiritually.
And so here in Portland, can you mention who are the nations you acknowledge mm-hmm. the land on which we stand? Mm-hmm. And can you talk a little bit about the Native American community mm-hmm. Of Portland?
Yeah. So there's a lot of village sites in this area. In particular, I mentioned the Chinookan people, but you also have the Multnomah people, the Kathlamets, the Clackamas, the Tillamook, Kalpulia, Malala. There's a lot of different tribes from this area. And many of the people still live here. Mm-hmm. Some people live in other places in the United States. It's part of termination and colonization. The Chinookan people are trying to get federal recognition right now from the national government because they're not federally recognized at this point. So that's something to talk about, that they're working on that sovereignty. So in their urban Indian population here in Portland, we're the 9th largest urban Indian population in the country. Mm. And there are a little over 40,000 Native Americans in the Portland metropolitan area. Mm. Although we all look very different, I think there's kind of that stereotype that we look and act a certain way, but we all certainly look very different. And we are descended from over 380 different tribes. Wow. So even within our own urban community, there are a lot of different ways that we do things, cultural ways that we do things. And so it's really important to remember the variety of culture of Native people in the community here as well.
Mm-hmm. And so we're going to hear in a minute about why the connection between the two movements. But first, Elmira, could you introduce 1 Billion Rising to us? What is this movement? I introduced it briefly in the introduction. Can you tell us what that is and what's happening here in Portland?
Yeah. So 1 Billion Rising is the 15th anniversary of V-Day. And as he spoke to earlier, Eve Insler started her work with confronting violence against women around 15 years ago. And she said that wherever she went around the world and wherever she traveled, she encountered violence against women. She encountered these horrifying stories about the atrocities that were taking place against women. And so she began the Vagina Monologues. Mm-hmm. And those were an opportunity for women to share their stories of what was happening. And she thought that through these stories, an awareness could be raised and people could start, you know, ending violence against women. But what she found was that it was the 15th anniversary coming up, and there had been absolutely no decrease in the statistics of violence against women. In fact, they were getting worse. Mm-hmm. And she could not figure out how this was. And so she decided to step it up, saying that the Vagina Monologues were not enough. Obviously, this was not going to work to end violence against women. So she got together with some of her people and devised the 1 Billion Rising campaign, which we're now engaging in. Mm-hmm. So 1 Billion Rising is a global day of action to stand up, strike, dance, and rise, and demand an end to violence against women and girls.
Mm-hmm. And so it's February 14th, Valentine's Day, and what is happening in Portland?
All right. So on February 14th, we are going to be gathering at Director's Park, which is located at 815 Southwest Park Avenue at 3 p.m. And we're going to be rallying there at Director's Park and then marching at 3 p.m. Our march is going to go on. We're going to have some flash mobs dancing. And then eventually our destination is the Pytheon Building, which is located at 918 Southwest Yamhill. And we're going to be there from 4 to 7 p.m. for an evening of a banquet and workshops and breakout sessions and networking and all kinds of beautiful resources available to women to help them really connect to the work that's happening. We have many, many community organizations that are coming out to give workshops and do some tabling. And really the agenda for the evening is to plug people into these organizations, take all this passion that we just accumulated for our march and our rally and plug that energy and the passion into the organizations that are working really, really hard to address these issues. One of the workshops that I want to speak to that I'm really, really excited about is a workshop being put on by the Sexual Assault Resource Center. Mm-hmm. And this workshop is going to talk about the fact that Portland is the second largest portal for human sex trafficking in the nation. A lot of people don't know that. We live in Portland, and it's an incredibly progressive city, mm-hmm. we all like to think. But we have this really ugly secret of being the second largest portal for human sex trafficking in the nation. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be talking a little bit about that. So that's just one of the many, many workshops that are going to be being presented on February 14th, again at the Pytheon building. That's at 918 Southwest Yamhill from 4 to 7.
Mm-hmm. So people can join at 3 o'clock March mm-hmm. rally, and then at the building at 4.
That's correct.
Yeah. So we're going to keep reminding people mm-hmm. of this information, because this is essential. We want all of you guys to join, whether you are a woman or not. This is not the point. What we want is to end violence against women. Can you talk maybe, Shiloh, a little bit about how this connection here in PDX between the 1 Billion Rising and Idle No More movement happened?
Well, Elmira has been great about coming to community events and really trying to engage the local Indigenous community here.
She's been everywhere.
Yes.
She's at KBOO this morning.
She's doing amazing, amazing community Absolutely. Building work. And
thank you.
Thank you.
Came to our teach-in at PSU that we had a couple weeks ago on Idle No More and left information. And I think you maybe even came to some of our round dances. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes a really big impression on us as a community, that someone would take the time to come. And there was multiple people who came up to me, I know, and I think other women saying, hey, we really want to ally with you around mm-hmm. this issue. And I think some of us were kind of caught up in the moment, and this mm-hmm. is such a new movement for a lot of us that we were like, wow, what's mm-hmm. what's going on? And then we needed to focus and say, you mm-hmm. know, this is a really great opportunity, and this is something that we're all very concerned about. I think that in this culture, we're taught as women not to talk about violence. Mm-hmm. We're not to talk about our stories or our feelings or mm-hmm. how it has affected us our whole entire lives. And I know that I have many of my close friends, women friends, have been assaulted in the last couple of years. And we just don't really talk about these issues and how it's affected us. And I'm not going to stand idly by anymore. And let this just be like, oh, sorry that happened to you. And, mm-hmm. you know, I guess you just have to, you know, keep trekking on. This mm-hmm. is absolutely unacceptable behavior. And we do not have to live like this. Our children don't have to live like this. Our men don't have to live like this. And our women don't have to live like this.
And I think that this is also the idea with the 1 Billion Rising movement is, you know, we've just been passive about what's happening for too long and kind of treating it as, well, this person is just a bad apple. Well, this person's story is just, you know, isolated. But in fact, 1 billion women, 1 in 3 women are going to be sexually or physically abused in their lifetime. It's mm-hmm. a huge number. We're going to take a short musical break. You're listening to Bread and Roses. I am here with Elmira from 1 Billion Rising Movement and Shiloh George, Southern Cheyenne, and Arapaho from Idle No More Movement, both local Portland movement. We are talking about the rally march, dancing event, all kinds of networking event happening February 14th, starting at 3 o'clock at the Director's Park in downtown Portland. We're going to listen to Ulali, This Is Mother, and we'll be back in a minute.
Oh,
You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm your host, Del Crescenzo. And tonight we are talking about February 14th, an event which is happening here in Portland. Yes, it is Valentine's Day, but it is also a day to show your love to all the women who are being abused on this planet. One in three women will be violated physically or sexually in their lifetime. And so the 1 Billion Rising Portland campaign movement is partnering with the Idle No More Portland movement, two movements coming together, making a tsunami on Portland, hopefully on February 14th. And so I'm joined by Elmira, representing 1 Billion Rising, and Shiloh George, Southern Cheyenne and Arapaho from Idle No More. Shiloh, would you share some statistics, some facts about violence against Native women?
Yeah, they're very startling and upsetting to look at these numbers. 3 out of 4 Native American women will be physically assaulted in her lifetime, 75%. Yeah. That is absolutely unacceptable. Murder rates are often 10 times higher for Native American women than any other ethnicity, and this is in particularly on reservations. 70% of sexual assaults in Indian country will never be reported, and the U.S. attorney declined to prosecute 52% of violent crimes on reservations and 67% of reservations based on sexual assaults. So the U.S. attorney isn't even dealing with half of these cases and prosecuting them. So it leaves Native American women, in particular on reservations, and children extremely vulnerable to assault and murder.
And it seems to me that because reservations have different laws, this is one thing that I've heard, and maybe you can speak to that, is that very often these attacks are being committed by non-Natives who don't actually fall under reservation law.
That's very true. And I'm not a legal scholar, so I can't get really in depth on the law, but I can give you a little bit of information. And that's true. So where the issue happens is that when it's a Native American woman and it's a non-Native man, it's who is perpetrating. And so the tribal courts cannot do not have jurisdiction to prosecute that, so they have to give that to the U.S. attorney or the state to prosecute. And oftentimes they do not, they live miles away from the reservations. Reservations are very isolated usually, and that, or they don't have the funds or the inclination to even want to deal with it. And sometimes, especially when you're looking at domestic abuse, it is sometimes considered a misdemeanor, and the U.S. attorney is not going to want to deal with that. I mean, that's not a priority for them. So the Violence Against Women Act, which was started in 1994, I believe.
Yes.
Has been put in place with special provisions for Native American women as well as a couple of other protected communities to help with that jurisdictional problem there. And that has been, the Violence Against Women Act has been ratified several of times, but it's this year, since 1994, that there's been an issue.
Yeah, it's up for re-ratification.
Right. And
it was denied.
It was denied. And so, and the grounds were that there shouldn't be a special designation for Native women, LGBTQ women, or immigrants. So,
and what was the rationale for not having special articles dealing with women who are facing very specific issues?
For Native women, that one in particular, they're saying that they have concerns about sovereignty issues and tribal governments having more legal parameters to prosecute non-Native men or non-Native perpetrators, and that they may not get due process, that they may be in double jeopardy, and that simply is just not true. And my own personal opinion is it's about ideology. It's about certain populations they don't want to help and deal with. And so this is just kind of the Violence Against Women Act is very important. The the Republicans tried to put through a stripped down version that took out provisions, special provisions, and that was declined in the Senate yesterday. Yes, so that went down. They have a bipartisan one that does have the provisions in there that has been passed, I believe, today.
Okay.
The problem is next week when it goes to the House. That is where there is a big possibility of it not passing. So, and that's where you have a lot of often Republicans. There are a few that are supportive of the Violence Against Women Act, but many of them are not.
And so, for the people who might not know what the Violence Against Women Act is, could you just lay out, you know, since 1994, what has it done in order to help us in this fight against, you know, ending violence against women?
So I'm just going to read really quickly from a paper that I got. The Violence Against Women Act, enacted in 1994, recognizes the insidious and pervasive nature of domestic violence, dating violence, sexual assault, and stalking, and supports comprehensive, effective, and cost-saving responses to these crimes. The Violence Against Women Act programs administered by the Department of Justice and Health and Human Services give law enforcement, prosecutors, and judges the tools they need to hold offenders accountable and keep communities safe while supporting victims. This act, it says, must be swiftly reauthorized to ensure continuation of these vital and life-giving programs and laws. And when you look at the provisions for Native American women, you're talking about life and death. If you have no provision and no way to deal with the jurisdictional issues, you are leaving women and children totally unprotected by law, so that anybody could go on a reservation and rape or kill a woman and it would be probably not prosecuted or dealt with at this point. And I think that most people would agree that that's absolutely unacceptable. And I think that most of the people in this country just don't know that that's occurring.
That is occurring, absolutely. Because one of the things that you mentioned is how far reservations vary, how isolated sometimes reservations are, and therefore how disconnected from reality. But then you shared about the very permanent Native population here in Portland, and they are Native people in urban centers. And I know that Valentine's Day has also been, for the past 10 years in Vancouver, an opportunity for women, mothers especially, sisters, daughters grieving the disappearance of one of their beloved, you know, women, one of the beloved women in their life who has been, you know, either murdered, abused, or simply disappeared, like kidnapped and never found. And there's been thousands of women in the Vancouver area. And so there's been a march organized in the remembrance of these Indigenous women also in Vancouver. So if you are, you know, close to the border up there, please, you know, go join these women as well in this move-in. Though I feel that, you know, here in Portland, thanks to you amazing organizers, we're set. Amira, can you remind us what's happening on February 14th, when, where, and also where can people, if you don't, you're in your car, you don't have a pen right now, where can you find that information that you're going to share with us?
All right. Well, all of the information that I'm going to share can be found on our Facebook page. We are 1 Billion Rising PDX on Facebook. You can also find us on WordPress, 1billionrisingpdx.wordpress.com, spelled out. So those are two places that you can get information, as well as just email us. If you have a specific question, just want somebody to get back to you, email us at 1billionrisingpdx@gmail.com. So those are all ways to kind of plug in and figure out what's going on. But I'll share just a few events that we've got. We have a whole week full of lead-up events to February 14th that you can come and get plugged in.
It's in less than a week.
So talking about this weekend, we got several events coming up for both Saturday and Sunday. As I spoke to earlier, we're going to have some flash mob dancing. Again, dance is a very integral part of this day of action. And so we're going to be doing flash mob practice. You know, there's a choreographed dance that has been choreographed specifically for the 1 Billion Rising event. And women are going to be dancing the same dance all mm-hmm. over the world on February 14th. So you can come down, get familiar with the dance practice on Saturday and Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. And that's going to be happening at the Fremont United Methodist Church. Again, you can find that information on the Facebook events page. You can go to the WordPress, or you can email us for that information. Also happening on Saturday, we're going to be doing a film screening of Misrepresentation. If you're not familiar with Misrepresentation, that's going to entail a documentary about the media's message that a woman's value lies in youth, beauty, and sexuality, which compromises her ability to achieve her full potential. So really taking this myth that our energy and our, you know, our life energy needs to be put into our image and redirect that. So mm-hmm. we're going to be challenging some of those things. And that's also a place to plug in with the 1 Billion Rising community. Let's see. The next event that we've got is a lead-in workshop for 1 Billion Rising that's happening on Sunday from 11 to 2 p.m. And that's going to be happening at the Pytheon building, actually, at 918 Southwest Yamhill from 11 to 2 p.m. And the lead-in workshop is really to set an intention for the February 14th Day of Action. Of course, you know, we have a global intention to demand an end to violence against women and girls. But us personally, we're so affected by violence, and a lot of us are very triggered by it and have really traumatic experiences. So we would like to provide a space for women to come on down and really set their personal intention for the day and get their headspace right and figure it out what it is they're marching for that day and really connect with themselves. So again, that's happening on Sunday from 11 to 2 p.m. The next event that we have leading up to the February 14th event is our final coordinating meeting. Mm-hmm. So it's not too late to get involved and take on some action items or, you know, really plug in to making this day great. Mm-hmm. And so if, we've got plenty of opportunities, plenty of organizing teams. We still need lots of help on the food team, on the cleanup team, on the dance team. Mm-hmm. All we've got several teams to plug into, and they all need or all could use a little bit more energy. So if you want to find a way to plug in, and that's a little bit more than just showing up for a march and help to organize it, please come out to the final coordinating meeting on Monday, February 11th from 6 to 9 p.m. We're going to be meeting at the Sunnyside Methodist Church in the basement. Mm-hmm. That's located at 3520 Southeast Yamhill. And again, please, if you have an intention on coming out, please look this information up on the Facebook page at 1 Billion Rising PDX Facebook page, or 1 Billion Rising PDX WordPress. And all the information is there. Or again, send us an email.
And it sounds like you've had to actually relocate to a bigger space because you've had a lot of great people in the community coming out and helping out.
That's correct. Over the last few months, I've just been hosting in my home, but we've outgrown that space. And yeah, we don't have the capacity to fit in my living room anymore. So the Sunnyside Methodist Church, I've been doing a lot of work with them for many years. They actually have a overnight shelter that I've been hosting for the last year and a half, and they've opened up some space to us to be mm-hmm. able to meet down there. And I just want to mention that all of our events, all of our venues, everything has all been donated. Mm-hmm. We've not paid anything for yeah. any of this, so I'm extremely appreciative and grateful to the folks who have opened up their venues to make this happen as well.
Yeah, this is awesome. And then there is February 14th, yeah. and so that's the big day.
Yeah, that is...
even though there's a lot of very, yeah. very important days that led to that day.
Right, right. Yeah, February 14th, 3 p.m. again at Director's Park. We're going to be rallying. Idle No More PDX is going to be doing some flash mob dances and doing some speaking, and they're actually going to lead our march. We've asked and invited one Idle No More to come down. Yeah, they're interchangeable movements
Absolutely.
At this point.
Yes.
So we've invited Idle No More to actually lead our march mm-hmm. and really put their voices at the forefront, because they are affected by violence against women at a disproportionate rate than any other group. They're going to be leading our march. Again, we're going to be leading and ending up back at the Pytheon building at 918 Southwest Yamhill. Our intention is to be back to our venue by about 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. Then from there, it's an entire afternoon and evening full of networking. We're going to have a banquet set up, or many, many workshops. There's dance workshops, meditation workshops, political and social justice workshops, all happening throughout the evening, as well as a red tent, the red tent, which is a sacred safe space for women who might be triggered, might need somebody extra to talk to process these things. So yeah, come on down, and all the information about all of our workshops, I barely skim the surface. So if you want more in-depth information that I can't offer right here, please go to the Facebook page or the WordPress page, or email us, and we can give you an exact list and description of all the workshops going on.
Yeah, and maybe we'll highlight a couple of events in a minute. But first, I know that Idle No More is also having specific events happening after the march. So would you highlight some of these, Shiloh, please?
Yeah, so after the march, we're going to be having at 5 o'clock a dinner up at Portland State University. We have the Native American Student and Community Center, which is on the corner.
Beautiful.
Yes, it's beautiful up there on the corner of Jackson and Broadway. And then at 6 o'clock, they're going to be doing a healthy workshops presentation that's going to be sponsored by the PSU Healing Feathers Program. And Jalene Joseph is going to be one of the speakers on that. And she, you know, does amazing work in our community on dealing with historical trauma and trauma that you're dealing with within your own life, and is a very wonderful and eloquent speaker.
Could you summarize briefly what historical trauma is for people who might not be understanding? I mean, it was a new concept to me as well. I think when you're part of, you know, the majority, you don't have to worry so much about that kind of trauma.
Well, historical trauma is the cumulative effects of trauma over and over, over a series of generations, not just over your lifetime, but over generations of your family, that accumulate and cause deep grief and pain and trauma within you and your family. And it continues to be passed down from generation to generation because there hasn't been an opportunity or an ability to process and to heal those wounds. And so historical trauma may look like increased domestic violence. It may look like depression. It may look like alcohol use. It may look like you know, living in poverty and not being able to get out of those circumstances and situations. And so part of the dealing with that trauma, it could be a lateral oppression. So even within your own community, there's issues between, well, you know, you're a legitimate Native person and you're not, or, you know, you could have those kinds of issues going on, infighting. And so it's really important to look at that historical trauma and how it affects you and your family. And then you have your own trauma from your own life, you know, so it can get really overwhelming. And one of the things that Jalene does is sort of talk about that trauma and how we can treat ourselves better and each other as a family and a community, and have empowerment. I personally feel like the Idle No More movement for me, and I know a lot of other Indigenous people that I've talked to, have been an amazing opportunity for empowerment and healing, a capacity to feel like it's, I think in the past, you know, doing a lot of work in the community, when Idle No More came up, it was just this extra energy that came up from the community and from the earth and from the ancestors of like, keep going, keep pushing forward. You're doing great. And I see this one thing I was commenting on when you were talking, Elmira, was about, I love the sense of activity and that there's dancing and community building, and that this isn't just we're going to march and, you know,
be upset.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we're very concerned. We're all very concerned about this. We're all very serious about it. Yet we can do it in a loving way. We can do it in a peaceful way. We can do it in a very active community building type of way, where there's excitement about what we're doing, that this doesn't have to be drudgery and things like that. And so I really am excited about the flash mob round dances that have happened within our movement, you know, going into the malls and taking hand drums in and singing and dancing and bringing your whole entire community and disrupting public space and being one person, an Indigenous scholar said, being Indian in public, like we're Native in public, you know, hey, we are really here. And I think
not just at a powwow that people would like actually need to like go to their powwow.
Yeah. Like the we're right here in your face, you know? And I think that The feedback I've gotten from non-Native community members is like, wow, this is great. I love coming to the mall and seeing this. Like, this was a total surprise. Like, you know, and you know, flash mobs, you're supposed to just show up and then do your flash mob and leave. And then what I recognize within our community during round dances is that people would show up 45 minutes early and hang out at the mall. And it's like this big community gathering. Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't seen you for months. How are you? It turns into sort of like a powwow. Or, and then you're just like looking at the security going, oh, I hope they're just not going to say anything. All these Indians in one place, you know. And then you do your round dance and it's awesome. And then people stay another 15, 20 minutes talking. And so that was kind of a fun thing to see. But I think that one of the other things that I really love about Idle No More is that it is totally driven by the community. And also there's a really strong spiritual aspect to it. And that's just who we are as Native people. And so it has a life of its own. And we don't need to direct it too much. It will do what it needs to do for the people in that space. And that is a lesson I learned earlier on at some of the round dances when I was like, hey, nobody's doing this the right way.
And there's no right way.
I know. And my sister was like, you know, Shiloh, there's no right way to do any of this. This is really just how it needs to happen. And I was so appreciative of those reminders. And it's amazing that this movement is there's a lot of women who are really driving this. And for me personally, it makes sense because if you look at many of our different traditions and ceremonies often and medicines have often come from the women, if you look at the stories, not all of them, but many of them. So it makes sense in this modern context that this work would be done a lot by the women. Not that we don't need men to help, because we really do. They're the other part of us and our community. Yet it's been amazing to see a lot of men sort of be like, hey, we totally support you and we're gonna kind of stand here as your allies and we'll let you go forward with how this needs to happen. And it's been beautiful and empowering, and it makes me want to cry. Just all this beauty that's and healing that's come up out of this. And I just, if anybody's out there feeling like alone in their struggle and not really sure how to connect to community, this is a great opportunity to come and be fulfilled. Like, you're not alone in this, and reach out to other people because you probably aren't the only one feeling how you're feeling. So I just want to put that out there to the community to get involved in.
And how could people in the community get in touch with the Idle No More PDX movement?
Yeah, that's so we have a Facebook page right now. It's Idle No More PDX.
Okay.
And that's probably the easiest way to get a hold of us and just become a member of our page. We let anybody in. just click, I want to join. And then we're usually posting information. And one of the things I've been, this movement doesn't belong to anybody and in particular. And if somebody has something that they feel really passionate about, that they want to hold a town hall meeting, if they want to hold a teach-in, and a teach-in could be a dinner with three people. It doesn't have to be 100 people somewhere, you know, with all this organizing. You can just talk with your friends. And I meet with a group of people on Friday nights, and they're my family and I love them. And it's a space that we can all talk about decolonization and different, you know, issues that are going on in Portland. And that's what, like, keeps me able to keep walking in this work and that self-care. And so I would say, if you are passionate about something or you want to learn about it, go for it. There's plenty of issues and topics that need to be explored and addressed. And this is really an amazing amount of community.
And so I can't resist the opportunity to decipher the word decolonize.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite words these days. So you mentioned it.
Yes.
Let's talk about it.
Decolonization. Oh, you're making me work the academic in me.
And it doesn't have to be academic, man. It can just be, yeah.
So decolonization for me is looking at the structures of, as an Indigenous woman, I look at my world around me, and the world that I live in and that we live in is post-apocalyptic mm-hmm. of what our ancestors lived in. It's totally, in a lot of ways, opposite, yeah. right? So looking at the way that we interact with our partners, our families, the way that our communities run and are structured is totally opposite in many aspects. So one of the ways that I've been working on decolonization is how I treat my body. So because of trauma I had early on in my childhood, my body sort of became this enemy mm-hmm. or something that I didn't want anymore. And so part of my healing process now in my 30s is to treat my body with respect because it's connected to the earth, right? So if I'm doing mm-hmm. this environmental work, I need to do that sacred space within myself. And one of my putting into my body? How am I nourishing myself? What kind of messages am I getting from like the dominant society mm-hmm. about nutrition and eating? And what is it that really is going to help mm-hmm. me? So kind of having a critical lens mm-hmm. of what's true for you and maybe what's not. And I mean, that's just one example.
But I think that understanding the decolonization process means yeah. first acknowledging how yeah. we've been colonized.
Yes.
And not just in the way our society is structured, but also in our mind.
Absolutely.
Right? Like how this Eurocentric
yes.
ideas of how, you know, what women are supposed to do and yes. how they're supposed to behave and what men are supposed to be in society and how they're supposed to behave,
right.
including mm-hmm. how they mm-hmm. treat their women. Has been, you know, because you mentioned this change and how the way your ancestors lived mm-hmm. 500 years ago and how you live today is completely mm-hmm. different, mm-hmm. not because of your own choice.
Exactly.
Right? Because of years and years of colonization.
Right.
And very brutal, mm-hmm. You know, government actions and different things, which
right.
led to the previous term you mentioned earlier, which was the historical trauma.
Exactly. And I think that for decolonization, it's very personal, like mm-hmm. what that person needs. It's work that is very difficult. I believe it's lifelong work.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like, you know, what you brought up about looking at the history
mm-hmm.
And like boarding schools and assimilation tactics and all of that.
We need to have another show because yeah. now you're bringing up many topics we need to spend hours on.
Yeah. And I, you know, thank you for sort of clarifying what I was saying.
Yeah. Because again, you just brought up boarding schools. And every time I've had conversations about boarding school, people are like, oh, I was here in boarding school. It was fun. I was like, well, I'm talking about yeah. Native American boarding school. And
yeah.
this is like an untold story of,
right.
of American history that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just full of mysteries for many people
yeah.
and full of pain and suffering for Native people.
Yeah, and it continues. Like, my great-grandmother was in a boarding school mm-hmm. from 5 until 12, and mm-hmm. that made a huge impact on our family that affects me to this day.
Yeah.
And I think also what's interesting when you talk about that colonization is the global impact of it. So you see very similar colonization in Canada, Australia, New Zealand.
Absolutely.
I mean, you just keep looking at Africa and over, and you often see very similar outcomes health-wise and social issues within the Indigenous communities in mm-hmm. in those different areas, even though they're on totally different continents, how the colonization has affected, you know, huge rates of domestic violence, suicide, diabetes, things like that. So we have a lot of work to do, yet I feel like there is a significant change in mm-hmm. our world that's happening in a very positive way for everyone, not just Indigenous people, but for everybody to live happier and more healthy.
Mm-hmm. And so what you just described just reminding me of this short film that was put up by the 1 Billion Campaign, which depicts violence against women and this earthquake kind of movement in all throughout the movie as the short film, I should say, as, you know, women get together, rise, dance, and strike on February 14th. And so I feel that this is definitely happening every day. You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm talking with Charlotte George. She is Southern Cheyenne and Arapaho, and she is associated with the Idle No More PDX movement, and with Elmira, who is associated with the 1 Billion Rising PDX movement. And so the event is happening. It's next Thursday, February 14th, starts at 3 o'clock. That is at Governor's Park. Is that what it is? Or Government's Park?
Director's Park.
Director's Park. Yeah. What do I want to say? Government. We talk too much about the government. Government, director, same thing. Let's rename it.
I believe in their eyes it is the Government's Park.
It is. Director's Park, and then all the way to the Pytheon building, then at 4 o'clock with banquet and all kinds of events. We'll mention these events again before we go, but before we do have to wrap up, I want to know why you are rising. Amira, you want to go first? We haven't heard your voice in a few minutes.
Yeah. So I've got a long history of exposure to violence against women. You know, I've brushed up throughout my life to different forms of violence being perpetrated in my body. And I was talking this morning with someone else who had expressed that I feel like I had experienced my share of violence against women. And that's an incredibly difficult position to be in. My share, what does that mean? To have experienced my share of violence against women. That's taking responsibility and accountability as if it's something that I should have to have experienced, and which is absolutely backwards to where I think that we need to be in this world. And so I'm really just rising to make a point to say that violence against women, especially my body, is not going to be tolerated anymore. It's not going to be ignored. It's not going to be accepted or just taken as, you know, a consequence of being born a woman. It's absolutely unacceptable anymore. So, you know, I truly believe that if you care about something, then you will do something about it, literally. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm rising.
Shiloh, why are you rising?
Oh, I love what you just said. I feel like that mirrors a lot of how I feel as well, that this is totally unacceptable. I'm not going to be idle about this anymore. I'm not going to intellectualize it all the time so I don't have to feel the pain of it, of myself or those around me. And, you know, I look at the children that we have now and the children who are going to be born, and I really do not want them to have to deal with these issues like this. And I feel that people are really good in their hearts, and if they take the time to look at these issues, that they'll find that this is unacceptable to them as well, and is connected to a lot of other issues that are going on in our community. And I want to do whatever I can to help our community thrive, the Indigenous community, but also every global community. We're all related, we're all relatives together, and the time is now. I feel like from an Indigenous perspective, like, there's a lot of prophecies about this time, and we need to take this moment and go for it and push as hard as we can in a positive and healthy way to make this a lasting change.
I am rising because I feel that violence against women very often end up turning into women's violence against women. I feel that I have hurt myself more than I've ever been hurt as a result of being hurt by the opposite sex. And therefore I'm done internalizing this violence. I'm done internalizing this Eurocentric way of being. I want to decolonize myself. I'm done suffering historical trauma from years and years of abuse and discrimination against women. And then there's a vocabulary quiz coming up. Yeah. So those of you, I hope you've been listening to all these words, decolonize, historical trauma, look them up. These are essential words today. Leanne, I want to put you on the spot. Leanne is our engineer. I want you to tell us why you're rising on Friday.
I feel like I've been rising since I was 5 years old.
Awesome.
And it's so great that it's galvanizing. It's just come to critical mass, and it's all happening. And I'm so inspired by our guest tonight. I have tears in my eyes. It's wonderful.
Thank you. This is Bread and Roses. We're a collective of women, and we are doing this for this reason, for nights like tonight, when I feel the energy like going around. It's inside of me now. I want to cry like Leon wants to cry. We're going to have to wrap it up in a few minutes, so I want to really lay out again these events. Elmira, you're on the spot because you got all these little things laid out in front of you with all the information that we need. Maybe you want to highlight how can people help before February 14th? Because I know there are people right now sitting at home that are like, well, I don't want to wait till Thursday. I want to be involved before that.
Okay. Yes, I mentioned throughout the show some of our events that are happening. We got several lead up events, and you can find all of those events on the Facebook page, 1 Billion Rising PDX Facebook, as well as on the 1 Billion Rising PDX WordPress, mm-hmm. a comprehensive, extensive list of everything going on leading up to 1 Billion Rising Day of Action. It's listed there. And I really want to reiterate that on Monday, February 11th at 6 p.m. In the Sunnyside Methodist Church, we're going to be having our last and final coordinating meeting. And there you can plug into some of the organizing teams. Our banquet, which has been organized by our food team, is really one of the places that needs quite a bit of help, because this is a day of action that is completely has no budget. We're hoping that people will step up. And you know, maybe you have a restaurant. Maybe you want to donate some catered items mm-hmm. to the banquet, something like that.
Can people cook also and just donate food?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. So there are plenty, plenty ways of getting involved. We need a team of peacekeepers to help with our march, to help keep everybody safe and help keep traffic back while our march is proceeding. Things of that nature. The list is very, very extensive. So come on out mm-hmm. to the last and final coordinating meeting on Monday, February 11th at 6 o'clock.
So if you're not on Facebook, this is perfect opportunity to start a profile today. Mm-hmm. Idle No More PDX on Facebook, 1 Billion Rising PDX on Facebook, and that's one spelled out, O-N-E. I want to thank you so much, Shiloh and Elmira, for being on Bread and Roses tonight. This is an amazing show. And definitely, I'll be at the march. I'm there. You've been listening to Bread and Roses. Before I wrap up, I just want to mention one event that's happening at the North Portland Library. It's called African American Reading. It's a brand new event. It's happening this Sunday, 2 to 3:30 p.m. And what this is African American Literature is for Everyone. Local celebrities and community leaders read works by their favorite African American writers. This is, you know, pretty amazing. North Portland Library, 512 North Killingsworth. That's here in Portland. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. Make sure that you check out these events. This is going to be amazing. Thanks for tuning in to Bread and Roses. I'm Del Crescenzo. We are a collective of host, producers, engineer. Thanks, Leanne, again, for engineering. And we're going to leave you with one of my favorite song, Annie Humphrey, DNA.
Johnny's woman, who killed Johnny's kid, who thought they'd silence Johnny's prayer, make his spirit hit the skid, who stole Johnny's water, who stole Johnny's land, who thought they'd beaten Johnny down, give him nowhere left to stand, left to stand.
Right, you're listening to KBOO Portland. Just listen to Bread and Roses. Coming up next, Hard Knock Radio. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to help sponsor the third annual Perfect Pickle Contest. a benefit for the Dill Pickle Club and their mission of broadening knowledge of Portland's past, present, and future. The Pickle Contest will be Tuesday, February 12th, 7 to 11 p.m. at Union Pine, 525 Southeast Pine in Portland. 10 local chefs will participate in the pickle making contest. There will be live music, presentations, and more. More information can be found at kboo.fm/perfectpickle2013.
KBOO would like to invite you to Once in a Boo Moon, an evening of live music provided by KBOO DJs.
You'll hear Henry and Moggy singing Down Home, Ragtime, and Country.
The True Vine Ramblers, a traditional bluegrass band totally comprised of current hosts of music from the True Vine, along with their special guests and former hosts, Deanne Nelson and Jim Seafelt.
Don McLaren and his fiddling friends playing old-time fiddle tunes.
And Retta Christie and her one-night stand band, bringing her brand of music that swings between the recesses of jazz and country.
That's Once in a Boo Moon at St. David of Wales Episcopal Church on Saturday, February 23rd from 7 to 10 p.m.
Doors open wide at 6 p.m., so come early. As also included are coffee, delectable desserts, a silent auction, and raffles.
For full details, go to kboo.fm and click on Once in a Boo Moon under KBOO Events. All proceeds go to benefit KBOO, your community radio station.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, fam? You're tuned to Hard Knock Radio here on the Pacifica Network. On today's program, we discuss the former Los Angeles police officer who was targeting members of the LAPD. And this is dealing with the various shootings that have been taking place in LA right now. And then also later on in the program, our bi-monthly music, entertainment, arts segment.